Released on November 21st, 1995 by 4Front Records, Jesus Freak was the fourth studio album by Christian rock and hip-hop band DC Talk. Incorporating a heavier rock sound and elements of grunge that was popular at the time, the album's style was a marked departure from the group's previous releases, which were more pop and rap. The album was released to both critical and commercial acclaim, reaching number 16 on the Billboard 200, and with six of the album's seven singles reaching number one across various Christian radio formats. It even won the 1997 Grammy Award for the Best Rock Gospel Album. I was a sophomore in high school when the album was released, and my sister bought it for me as a Christmas gift that year. I was coming into my own in regards to my faith at that time, and so the music had a significant impact on me. The fourth track on the album is entitled What If I Stumble and opens with a quote from late author and Franciscan priest Brennan Manning. The quote is as follows: "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." I remember being struck by that notion the very first time I heard it and convicted by it every time thereafter. It is a similar and complementary point the author of James makes in the first chapter of his letter to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. "But be doers of the word," he writes, "and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they look like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing." As Presbyterians, we believe that there is no worship apart from the reading and proclamation of the Word. From the Word of God, we draw comfort and inspiration. We find answers and even more questions. We have our views confirmed and questioned. We learn to see the world as God sees it and even ourselves as God sees us. But we also find challenge and charge. Encouragement to go forth and do unto others, to go and do likewise, to do this in remembrance of me. Friends, make no mistake, we love and we serve an active God, as active today as every day before, and our God expects then no less from us. It is clear, even from a cursory reading of the Scriptures, Old Testament and New, that our God is on the move and commands us to be the same. God blessed Adam and Eve, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, but settle in the land that I shall show you." God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and settle there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." And David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." And at that time, the Lord had spoken to Isaiah, son of Amoz, saying, "Go and loose the sackcloth from your loins and take your sandals off your feet." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." One night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will lay a hand on you to harm you, for there are many in this city who are my people." Go, come, be on the move, follow and lead, for the word of God is living and it is active. Friends, it is not enough simply to sit and to listen, to ponder meaning and to look for comfort. Every encounter with the Word of God is meant to inspire action and reaction. But be doers of the Word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the Word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. In those days, there were, of course, no photographs, explains scholar N.T. Wright. Hard to imagine in times like these. Hardly anyone had their portrait inked. Not many people possessed mirrors either. And mirrors weren't what we would picture these days, made of highly reflective glass. Mirrors in the ancient world were made of highly polished metal, which you can imagine returned only a poor image of that which was being reflected. So that if you did happen to catch sight of yourself in those days, you might well forget at once what you looked like. Well, that's what it's like, writes James, for some when they hear the word of God. A quick glance, oh yes, they think, that's interesting. And then they forget it straight away and carry on as they were before. This, of course, is what James warns against. For James, a true encounter with the word leaves us changed. Transformed, always for the better. Not able, really, to go back to the way things were before, but inspired and encouraged to see the world differently and to make it a better place. Regardless of the enormity of the task or the efforts that it will take. As one commentator relates, there was a man who began cutting his grass on a scorching Saturday. He had a large lawn. Perspiring, he thought how good a tall glass of lemonade would taste. And so he went inside into the air conditioning, poured an oversized glass, and settled into a big easy chair. He decided to look up the word weed in the dictionary and found any plant growing where it was not wanted. So he went back outside, surveyed the lawn, and decided that every blade stood exactly where he wanted it. And so he rationalized away the doing. Well, we are like that too sometimes, you and I. Sometimes, or much of the time. Having heard the Word of God, we resonate with it. We find meaning in it. We are inspired by it. Yet that feeling passes before we do anything about it. And we quickly forget. Or even worse, we actively avoid. Find any way we can to rid ourselves of the feeling that we should do something about what we have just read or heard, that we should act on it. Well, we are good at hearing the word, but not so great at doing it. But we are in good company. The Apostle Paul struggled with the same. In his letter to the Romans, he wrote, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want. But I do the very thing I hate." We know what we should do, but if we're honest, we struggle in doing it. We are much like my daughters as of late, who have been told time and time again in the last few weeks to keep their bedroom doors closed, lest the new puppy that we have would take and chew something that they care about. Yet time and time again, we find the doors open and have to remind them, "Close your doors." And a few times, that warning has come, unfortunately, a little too late. Just the other day, as I was perusing the news feed on my Facebook account, I came across a saying that I had seen before, but seems so apropos in the context of this passage. The saying is attributed to author and speaker Priscilla Shirer and reads as follows. "The mark of an effective church is not how many people come, but how many people live differently as a result of having been there." Let me read that again. "The mark of an effective church is not how many people come, but how many people who live differently as a result of having been there." It is a new way of presenting the juxtaposition that James presents between hearers and doers. As I stand at the door following worship each Sunday, it is a joy to greet each one of you, to share a handshake or a hug, to catch up with one another, if only briefly. And each Sunday, many of you offer encouraging words about my sermon. Nice message today, Pastor. Thank you for your words. That was exactly what I needed to hear. And I am encouraged and I am buoyed by your kind words, and I do take them to heart. But I want you to know that what I cherish even more are those times when I can see that what I have said, what I have humbly and prayerfully discerned is God's word for God's people that day, has made a difference in the way that you live, the way that you speak, the way that you relate to one another and to others, has changed you in some tangible way for the better. It is my most sincere hope and prayer that as I stand before you and proclaim the word of God, that I am holding up a mirror that does not merely show you who you are, who we are, but also shows us who we can be and who God is calling us to be. And further, that you do not forget what that looks like as soon as we sing a hymn or the benediction is pronounced or we gather for coffee and cookies or as you pull away with the church in your rearview mirror. For if that is the case, then what we have done here together is meaningless. It is all for naught. As William Barclay notes, what is heard in the holy place must be lived in the marketplace. This is not Las Vegas. What we do and say here need not and should not stay here. Rather, it must go with us into the world, into our families, into our schools, into our workplaces, into the halls of power. And what is it exactly that must go? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. To care for orphans and widows, the forgotten, the castaways, the undesirables, no questions asked and no conditions given. And to keep one unstained by the world, in the world but not of the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are to be hearers and doers, my friends. One without the other is never enough. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Blessed in their doing. That is our aim. Blessed because we have heard the call and because we have answered. As Teresa of Avila once opined, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth, but yours. Hearers and doers. That is our charge. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.